Kurt Helin will join us here momentarily. In fact, Kurt's with us right now. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How's it going?
We're doing great. By the way, so Hans and I, we were talking about this earlier in the show. It's our job, and we watch Jazz games, and we don't complain at all. But when you're playing the Houston Rockets, it's not fun basketball. I mean, it's that is a really bad situation there in Houston right now.
And you can see it's gotten to them mentally. If you watch,
yeah.
I watched a little bit of them last night too. It's. I mean, there's some decent players on that. Tate's going to make all rookie. Like, he's actually a good player. And, you know, they've got Wall. They've got talented guys there, and Christian Wood hasn't bounced back the way he was playing pre-injury. But they're now kind of the anti-Jazz. They're actually, like, worse than the sum of their parts. They're just – it's just come off the rails there. And, it's the off-season before they fix this. And yeah, you're right. They're actually – it's just hard to watch. And they might actually still be better than the Thunder. Like, if that game comes on, I don't recommend buying that one off of
this whole thing is crazy though, Kurt, watching the race in the West, because I see the Jazz win and then they'll win again and then they'll win the third night. I'm like, oh, surely they're extending their lead. Oh, yeah. Wait, there's the Suns. They just beat Philly. Oh, there's the Suns. They just beat Boston. There's the Clippers. They continue to win. The Suns with another big win on this five-game road trip that they just started the other night. I want you to talk about Phoenix. Are people starting to take them serious?
I think so. I think people are starting to realize, and you can, hey, that was a 76ers team that didn't have Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris playing, but they're still – they've still got Joel Embiid. That is a team that is still finding ways to win, you know, I mean, Phoenix nightly. And I think people are starting to realize that this isn't just some fluke. You know, it's not just the 8-0 bubble team. That this is, with Chris Paul, a legitimate playoff threat. The team, I've said that I think they're going to learn some hard lessons in the postseason just because they haven't been there before, and it's still a learning process. But this is still a really good team that is balanced now, right? It's getting good play from the wings. DeAndre Ayton is evolved into a good quality two-way player and a double-double machine. And they just play smart basketball. They play within themselves. They play, you know, they added Chris Paul to a, I'm going to forget the phrase Monty Williams uses off the top of my head, but this kind of five-man out, everybody moves the ball, Spursian system. And then they added Chris Paul to that. And you thought it could tear them apart, but instead it's actually kind of made them that much better, because they have a guy who can just get a bucket or run some pick and roll and beat you that way, but they can kind of go back to playing their system as well. It's, you know, sort of like Utah can, where they've got the system, but if they need to, Donovan or Conley can kind of break you down. It's a good team. We'll see how it goes in the playoffs, but this is a team kind of, you can feel them built for the long term if they can hold on to Chris Paul.
Joe Ingles has been so good over the last month or so. Could he challenge his own teammate for sixth man of the year?
He could get in that mix. It's not, I think we talked about this last week. It's not a runaway anymore. At the midway point of the season, you're like, and it's Jordan Clarkson and everyone else. And Jordan may still win this, but I think that Joe Ingles has been so good, and he's got to be in the conversation. And it's opened the door for the Jalen Brunsons and just the other guys around the league who are good sixth men of the year. It's not the runaway it felt like earlier. And Ingles has been critical. I mean, just a big part of everything that's going right for you guys. He's just making plays every night, and part of that, it's tough to play against Utah. It's just tough to breathe. Hey, we're bringing out another round of guys who can just drill threes all night long. It's tough to beat a team like that.
In your opinion, Kurt, are the Utah Jazz built for postseason basketball?
Yes. What they lack, and I think we've talked about this, what they lack, with all due respect to Donovan, is a guy who's a proven elite championship-level star in the LeBron, Kawhi, Steph, Durant kind of guy who just erases mistakes, who just, at the end of the day, if the bench is having a rough shooting night from three, it doesn't matter because this guy can change everything. It's a little more of an ensemble win. The advantage to having a nine deep roster is that you can. Well, all right. So Joe Ingles has a, in theory, will have an off night at some point, right? But there's other, other guys can step in and fill the role, or you can get the matchups you want. I just feel like the margin for error is less, but they are absolutely the versatility and the way they play and the fact that they defend so well makes them a legitimate playoff threat. This is a legitimate contender team. Like I said, I think that just what having a Kawhi Leonard on the roster does is give you a margin for error some nights.
You know, the one thing that I think has really been working out in the, there's just some years where things kind of go your way. And even when you have an injury to Donovan Mitchell, you're not playing a ton of games in a short amount of time. You're going to play, last night they had Houston. They've got back-to-back games against the Timberwolves. Then they've got Sacramento coming up. They do have Phoenix coming up here in a bit, but they've got about a 10-day stretch where they're not playing a ton of games. The games they're playing are against lesser opponents. Things just kind of lined up pretty well for this situation.
Yeah,
here.
Sometimes it's just when you catch teams, right? There's points in the season where we talk about Houston and not playing well. There were stretches of the season when they were playing well, when things kind of did click for them earlier in the season, when John Wall was on and nobody kind of discovered Tate yet and Christian Wood was fully healthy and they were a much tougher out. And that's true of, you catch the Lakers now versus where you would have caught them when they had LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's kind of a different team. And that's true with Brooklyn and it's true with, a lot of it. So sometimes this year more than ever, there's always some randomness in the schedule that way. But it tends to balance out. This year, it's just even more so because there's so many top guys injured and the schedule is so condensed that it really does. It just does matter when you catch teams, and the strength of schedule seems more varied than most years, where I feel like it just kind of works itself out most years. This year, it's definitely, if you catch Atlanta now over the next, hopefully not that long, but if you catch Atlanta over the next few weeks without Trae Young, they're not a very good offensive team without Trae Young. It changes everything.
Curious to get your thoughts on where Denver is headed right now. Are we just kind of seeing like a fake front with this four-game win streak, including beating Portland last night in a very important game on the road? Is this all just a false front, or is there a way that Denver does carry without Jamal Murray?
I don't think it's a complete false front because I think this is still a very good team. This is still got the guy who's probably going to win MVP as the hub of their offense. And Jokic has got guys around him who can hit shots and cut. And, Aaron Gordon can make plays, and Michael Porter Jr. is going to make a lot of plays. And so this isn't it's just not some random fluky thing. I just think that you get to the second round of the playoffs when it's going to be, I still think that the final four in the West will be Utah, the two Los Angeles teams, and let's say Denver gets through. Well, we'll see how it goes. Phoenix will be in there. But if Denver got through or they go up against the Lakers or something in the first round, if it's 4-5 Lakers, Denver, well, that's when you miss Jamal Murray. That's when you have to have that two-man game and that guy who can create from the perimeter like that, and they just don't have anybody who can. Austin Rivers is not going to fill that gap for them. There's a little bit of a step down there, and that's where you're going to miss it. It's going to be in the playoffs in the postseason, but they are still a good, disciplined team that's well-coached, and they're still going to win a lot of regular season games. I don't think they're going to give up their playoff seeding.
How concerned should Brooklyn be over over James Harden?
Yeah, pretty concerned, right?
Yeah.
You guys know with hamstrings, and this is obviously true with, a running back in football or any position, that's the hard, it's hamstrings and groins where you think you're okay, right? You think, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel when I walk. I don't feel it with a light jog. And you're trying to get back, and you start to push it a little bit, and it's just not ready for that kind of explosive movement, and then you have the big setback. Nobody, you never know, and Harden's a guy who plays through a lot, but I don't know if we're going to see him until the playoffs. And how healthy are they going to be now? Kyrie Irving can't carry this team through the postseason. It's they need Kevin Durant and James Harden to be close to 100%. And in, much like with LeBron and the Lakers now, it's fair to ask if they're going to get that. If they don't have that, then can they beat Philadelphia or Milwaukee? I literally don't know the answer to that. I think that's part of the fun of the West, but I think it's legitimately time to be concerned about both how healthy they can be in Brooklyn, and also now they've played 7 games, and I think it's 186 minutes total all season with those guys on the court. Like, not much time with all those guys on the court together. And what's it going to be like in crunch time? Right, like you get down to the final 5 minutes of a close game. Are they going to continue to hunt mismatches, or is it going to get a little bit your turn then my turn? And are they going to? We just haven't seen it, and I don't know that they've worked all that out yet because they haven't been in that position.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about LeBron James, just his health, but I also wanted to get your thoughts on the tweet that he put out and then deleted. Sure. Is there going to be any fallout from there? That he must have received some pretty negative attention for him to take that down.
Yeah, exactly. LeBron's not a guy who backs off of those kind of social justice type of, you know, whatever you think of the tweet. Like, he's not a guy who backs off of that kind of stuff. And I think he realized that, you know, different situation and different, it wasn't playing well. I don't know that there's going to be any fallout from the tweet. Because he took it down and put something up, I don't think there's going to be some punishment from the league or anything. I doubt him. I don't think sponsors are going to backlash against him over this one. But it didn't play well. I think that he realizes that and put it. That's why it came down. And we'll see if anything else comes of it. The health wise, I'm hearing weeks and. Again, what's there, a month left in the season? And if it's 2 to 3 weeks, I mean, yeah, he'll be back for the postseason. But again, I think we've talked about this. Those high ankle sprains are not totally unlike groins and hamstrings in the sense that, or an ACL or something else in the sense that you don't fully trust it. You can't quite get the same explosion off of it when you come back sometimes. And so as much as we like to kind of think of LeBron as almost superhuman, like if he's not completely 100%, where are the Lakers? Like they need him to be that guy for them to be. This is a top heavy roster, man. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. And then it drops way off a cliff when you get down to KCP and then, you know, Caldwell Pope and Schroeder and whoever you think the fourth best player is on that team. They have to have him at 100% and really functioning for them to have a chance. And I don't know if he's going to be that guy. I don't know. And I don't know that they know right now.
You know, there's sometimes voter fatigue. I know voters don't like to vote for the same guy year in and year out. And that's why, you know, Michael Jordan didn't win, you know, 15 consecutive MVP awards because he was certainly capable and earning, you know, and probably worthy of it. But Rudy Gobert statistically is having his best defensive year as an NBA player. Do you think that he is the front runner for defensive player of the year, or could there be a little bit of a voter fatigue with him?
I don't think there's voter fatigue with him. He didn't win it last year, obviously. That went to Giannis.
Yeah, yep.
And I don't think so. I think that he's been so good and Utah's been so good in there. My sense talking to people, and I've just started, you know, with a month ago, I've started to do my research, and when I reached out to a couple of people about defensive player of the year, one of them got back to me like, well, you're not voting for Rudy automatically? Like, you realize how good he's been, right? I'm like, I know. I'm doing my due diligence, and besides, I gotta pick three guys. So I think he is a pretty clear front runner. I don't think anybody else can put together – defense is one of those where – availability matters. Like, I think you can make a case for what Joel Embiid does defensively in Philadelphia, but this comes back to his problems winning MVP, where he's been out 18 games and played, you know, considerably fewer minutes than Rudy, considerably fewer minutes than in the MVP race than Jokic, and that gets him in. It hurts the case. You can't defend for your team if you're not on the floor, right? And so that's where I think the guys who are close. I don't think Giannis is going to get it, and I don't think there's anybody else quite on Rudy's tier right now. I think he wins. I think he wins pretty comfortably.
Well, hey, always fun to catch up with you. We appreciate it as always, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Kurt Hedlund, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com.